funding for public broadcasting rather than specific ones about my particular station. And one thing I'd like to point out is that the costs for operation of a radio station will vary, of course, a great deal from community to community as the services and the cost of those services vary. We heard from Barrow and how expensive we all know it is to conduct any kind of business up there. I might note that there is some standardization of services among the public stations, and Charlie mentioned that as the ESL, or the Essential Service Level. I might point out also that the ESL is based on the federal minimum standards. Those are the federal minimum standards for receiving federal grants or the community service grants. I think that's especially important when we talk about wanting to shift some of the financial burden from the state to the federal level. We must at least meet those minimum federal requirements to be able to secure federal grants. In the total broadcasting arena, there's a very wide variety of service levels that are offered, and we can cite many examples. For example, the hours of operation go anywhere from 24 hours a day to, well, say, for example, in Seward, our neighbor station over there signs off at 7 p.m. each day, and there's a variety in between. Operating power, here in Homer, the other station in Homer operates at 105,000 watts and claims to be Alaska's most powerful radio station. And that can go anywhere down to some other commercial stations that operate as low as 50 watts. Those are FM stations. AM can run anywhere from 250 watts, again, up to 5,000 watts or higher. Salaries, when we start to compare salaries, that's a really complicated ball of wax because we can deal with ownership or buy-in arrangements, fringe benefits, and as mentioned, perhaps even offering housing as part of the fringe benefit. And other variables when you compare station to station may include whether translators are involved in FM service, bilingual broadcasting when you start dealing with Alaska Native populations, production facilities, are there any available for community members to produce programs dealing with local issues, and the list goes on and on. I guess my point is that there's obviously wide differences in operating costs between these different stations or the different circumstances depending upon the services that are being offered. And to try and determine what is a fair cost or what can you operate a radio station for becomes an intensely complex matter. And it seems that the Alaska Public Broadcasting Commission at least has been kind of charged with the responsibility of deciding what is the fair cost and how to deal with that, and they've developed the ESL and they've got paid staff to deal with that and a whole bunch of stuff, and in our opinion here they've done a pretty good job of that. And I guess I'd simply like to urge the Finance Committee to examine the public broadcasting's budget request very, very carefully, not because it's full of waste or any of those sort of things, but in order to fully understand the complexities involved in their decisions and their recommendations. And of course, our station request is a part of it. Two side notes I'd like to add simply in response to a couple of other things. In terms of what Hank said, on major equipment purchases, we do go out for bids on all major equipment purchases simply because obviously if we can save a buck on buying a piece of equipment, it enables us to use that money for something else. And the other comment is in regards to, in response to projected federal and state reductions, here at our station, we just recently eliminated two part-time paid positions in response to the anticipated reduced funding situation in the future. Thank you for the opportunity to testify via the teleconference system here, and I'll entertain any questions.
Okay, thank you very much. Do we have any questions, Representative Dolores? Okay, then let's move on. Anybody else in Homer that wants to speak? Is that the only one?
Yeah.
Okay, then let's go on to Sitka.
Our witness in Sitka is Stephen Williams.
Hi, I'm Steve Williams. I represent the Raven Radio Board of Directors, and I work for KIFW, the commercial station in town here. I just have a couple comments about Raven Radio is an independent nonprofit corporation, and our local funding amounts to $1 per person in the population of Sitka, which is pretty good community support in the first year of operation. And we don't compete with KFW in any way at Raven Radio. Our programming complements each other. KIFW is primarily a music and network news format, and there's no time or money to produce local programming. CAW provides that service in Sitka. I want to keep it short. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Anybody else in Sitka that wants to speak?
This is Dr. Dan Edelain, and I am in different capacities. When I am on the board of Raven Radio, I have been on it for 5 years now. It was long before it started. I also manage the Sitka Mini TV, and I'm the future owner of KIFW TV, the commercial television station, and like to address the issues of commercial TV as opposed to or working with the state-supported KCAW radio station. Obviously, because we'll be owning a station, we have to look for the economics, and that means doing television work, we tend to take a network feed rather than doing very much local productions, just because the local productions are so expensive. And if we're going to use the non-commercial or the state-supported KCAW to really cover the local news and public affairs and so on, it's going to cost us more, and we recognize that. And I expect in my running a commercial station, we'll have the barters and the trade-offs and some of the other benefits that we can't always generate with KCAW. Having worked with the Public Broadcasting Commission for so many years, I strongly support the budget that they've been able to develop. It's rational and practical, and something that we all ought to support. Thank you.
The committee chair is conferring with his aide. Please stand by.
Okay, thank you very much, Doctor. Let's move on to Haynes then.
Our next witness is in Haynes, Deborah Schnabel.
I'm Deborah Schnabel. I'm the first and only manager of KHNS at Haynes. I've been in that position for 2.5 years, and I bring to public broadcasting a private business management background. And I'm not going to speak in general terms. I'm going to speak in very specific terms and be perhaps the first to start throwing out numbers. In October of 1980, which would have been fiscal year 1981, the APDC granted KHNS $95,000. 3 days later, KHNS went on the air. In fiscal year 1982, we were granted $206,600. This represented the second lowest grant in the system. Then in FY 83, we were granted $227,600. Again, this was the second lowest grant in the system. Why the grants to KHNS were relatively low was because we had no historical perspective from which to develop a proper budget. The budget methods are years in advance of actually receiving them, and we just unknowingly didn't ask for a reasonable amount of money to operate the station. In FY 84, the fiscal year coming up, I'm happy to report that KHNS has the benefit of ATDC support for a state grant in the amount of $300,000. Now, $17,100 of that is contained in what's called an essential service level adjustment. That is, the commission recognizes that KHNS in previous years has not been funded at an essential service level. $31,600 is recognized as essential service level recovery. I do believe, or I was told, that the subcommittee hearing would have on hand copies of the grant request documents. And on Form 2 of KHNS grant request, there's explanation for each specific line item of expenditure. And the form compares fiscal year 1983's request to fiscal year 84's request and specifies exactly why a figure is more and sometimes less than the previous year. I'd be happy to answer any questions on that if anybody has them. The KHNS FY 84 request of $300,000 was developed in full compatibility with the Commission's long-range plan, and that states that no station should receive essential service level funding from the ATDC unless a minimum of 15% of its total support is from non-state sources. And in fact, the KHNS FY HHS budget projects that 34% of the needed income will be raised from non-state sources. The $300,000 request represents only 66% of the total projected income for our station in FY84. Now, one unique aspect of KHNS is that its purpose is recognized by the Commission in a long-range plan to serve the communities of both Haines and Skagway. Now, most of you know that these communities are physically alienated by the Lynn Canal, and we have worked hard by our programming to bring these two communities together. We employ a Skagway reporter, and news recovery is provided without priority to either community, so we consider a Skagway studio a part of our essential service level. Of course, costs are higher because of that. The additional studio and Skagway staff is the main reason why the KHNS operating budget expenses are higher than other stations our physical size. Obviously, the cost of maintaining separate facilities necessitates a higher overhead margin. At least a single support staff is necessary. Nonetheless, even with the additional position, KHNS total staff size is in keeping with the average staff size of 9.7 positions. In fact, we have 9.5 positions or 10 people projected for FY84. The fiscal year 84 KHNS budget is an example, I think, of sound money management. It displays respect for the mission and goals of public broadcasting in Alaska. I believe it adheres faithfully and with due respect to the attitude of the Commission as laid out in its long-range plan. And I'm asking the subcommittee to support our grant request in the amount of $300,000. The grant of 6% over the actual FY83 grant would be $241,300. I believe that's what you are looking at now on the computation worksheet provided by Dr. Northrup. But we recognize that KHNS needs the essential service level adjustment of $17,100 and the essential service level recovery of $41,600 to achieve satisfactory continue of operations at KHNS. I'll entertain any questions right now. I do have some statistics and stuff like that if anyone is interested in how our operations actually work.
Thank you very much. Perhaps Representative Gull may have a special interest in this area. Why don't you go ahead, Representative Bell?
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate your comments. I have reviewed the budget, and I must concur with what you say. I just came back from Skagway this morning, and as I'm sure you know, the work you've done there is very well appreciated, and they're hoping for the development of facilities in Skagway. I have no questions at this time except to thank you very much for your comments.
Any additional comments? From Haines,
then? No, other than to thank Peter very much for being there. I know he traveled down the canal today in some hairy weather.
I know I've taken that trip before myself.
Thank you.
Thank you. And shall we go on then to anybody else at Haines?
There's no one else here since
I. Thank you very much. Let's go to Kodiak.
Our witness in Kodiak is Dave Thompson.
This is David Thompson at Kodiak. I would prefer to allow our board chairman, Merle Snyder, to speak first. Thank you.
Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'd like to talk just briefly today about our budget process. Our budget process does go through a 9 steps, and begins with the, of course, the manager and the staff. It's reviewed by a finance committee, which is part of our board, and believe me, the lady that chairs the finance committee is very conservative. The budget continues on through the board of directors, is looked at, analyzed, before going on to the Alaska Public Broadcasting Commission staff, and then down through the governor and the legislative committees, so that we feel that by the time you receive the numbers in the budget, that we have presented a very cost-effective budget and one that contains very little or no fat at all. We do serve approximately 12,000 people here in Kodiak in a physical plant of 1,100 square feet. Our budget is made up of 70% coming from the state, 15% Corporation of Public Broadcasts for the federal money, which, by the way, requires that you have at least three management people in your station before you can apply for those grants. And then we raise, and we raise very well, at least 15% of our budget. So I feel like the budget process is very, very well reviewed before you reach it. We have accepted the level that that the APBC has presented to you. We realize that we're asking for actual needs and not just wants. So we hope you'll review the budget carefully, and thank you for your time today. I'll entertain any questions.
Thank you. Do we have any questions from the committee?
Yes, sir.
Okay, then let's, anyone else from Kodiak? Okay, thank you. What's our next?
I think we'll take a witness here in Juneau.
Okay.
Mr. Elmo Sackett, please.
Fine.
Mr. Sackett is approaching the microphone. I may be the only television person to speak to you today, so I hope I get a little special dispensation of time. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Gall, my name is Elmo Sackett. I am the general manager of KAKM, public television station in Anchorage, Alaska. I'm here today to talk to you about the three C's of public television in South Central Alaska. The first C is a C that each of you understands. It's the C of constituents. You have a constituency back home, a body of people that elected you and sent you to Juneau and required that you carry out the business of governing the state in a manner consistent with the elected process. I too have a constituency that requires me to carry out the business of providing the highest quality public television service that our nonprofit corporation can afford. Let me tell you something about my constituents. First, over 8,000 homes representing nearly 25,000 people make personal, voluntary, financial contributions to our station each year. That figure, by the way, is three times greater than the national average. Second, my constituency represents over 125,000 people who use public television on a regular basis each week. That represents one quarter of the population of the state of Alaska. And last year, we were the number one per capita watched public television station in the nation. Unfortunately, this year we lost our number one ranking, but I'm glad to report that we lost it to our sister station, KUAC, in Fairbanks, Alaska. Third, my constituency represents tens of thousands of school-age youngsters who use instructional programs broadcast by KAKM to supplement their in-school learning experiences. Over 320 hours of K-12 instructional programming are broadcast to the students of Anchorage, Kenai, and the Matsu school districts each year. Incidentally, that figure does not include Sesame Street, Electric Company, 321 Contact, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Fourth, my constituents are your constituents. They represent the thousands of people who watched 70 hours of Running and By the People, those series that ran last fall, that helped them decide who to vote for during the November elections. The second C I'd like to talk with you about today is the C of commitment. The commitment of time and of money to ensure the continuation of high-quality public broadcasting. Over 2,000 people will volunteer their valuable time and their efforts this year to help KAKM. They will do everything from placing mailing labels on monthly program guides to organizing our third annual Channel 7 auction. They will direct programs, host programs, run cameras. They'll answer phones during membership drives. They'll be go-getters during the auction. And a few will even produce their own television programs through an innovative project called Bright Ideas. 15 of these citizens will donate untold hours to serve in the publicly to serve as the publicly elected board of KAKM.
They set station goals and objectives, establish priorities, monitor the activities of the station, and evaluate its impact on community life in South Central Alaska. They will be assisted in this effort by an 11-member Citizens Advisory Committee who will review the policies and programs of the station and make recommendations to its board of directors. Citizen commitment to KAKM involves more than just time. It also involves money. Each of you knows how difficult it is to raise money for an intangible. When you ask people to contribute to your campaign, you do so by asking them to have faith in you, that all you can promise in return is to do the best job you can to make Alaska a better place to live. Your product is one of service, service to people, and so is mine. This year, the individual people of South Central Alaska will contribute nearly $400,000 to their public television station. They will do that from the $1 contribution given by the six-year-old from his penny bank to a $500 family contribution paid on monthly installments. The average donation will be $47.50, one of the highest in the nation. Individuals have been joined by many others in making a financial commitment to public broadcasting. In this year alone, businesses and corporations will locally underwrite public television programs in the amount of $130,000. NSTAR Natural Gas, the National Bank of Alaska, Tesoro, and other major companies are not the only companies that support public broadcasting. Our underwriters also include the Anchorage Refuse Company, it's our garbage collection company, Multicolors Janitorial Service, and an individual board member who underwrote a program on Black history. Over 600 local retail merchants will help the station this year by donating $125,000 in goods and services to be auctioned off during the third annual Channel 7 auction. The commitment to public broadcasting is truly representative of the community we serve. The third C I want to talk with you about today is the C of cooperation, the cooperation between the public and the private sector. I can think of no better example of American democracy than the cooperative effort by federal and state governments, along with individual businesses and corporate support for the enterprise that the Carnegie Commission called the National Treasure. At KAKM, 50.1% of our operating budget comes from local contributions. 35.1% comes from a state grant through the APBC, and 14.9% from a grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. This broad diversity is our strength. It's our shield. It allows us the freedom to air controversial, important programs. It allows us the opportunity to broadcast programs that may not have mass appeal, and most important, it gives us time. Time to devote to the examination of the human condition. Time to look at ourselves. Time to instruct the curious, inform the electorate, stimulate the creative, and elevate the spirit in each of us. Behind the three C's that I've spoken of today, the C's of constituents, commitment, and cooperation, lies the fundamental question of why. Why do so many individuals, businesses, corporations, and governments support public broadcasting? Well, the answer may be the question, why? If you want to know what happened today, read the newspaper or watch the news on TV. But if you want to know why, watch McNeil Lehrer. If you want to know what happened on Wall Street this week, read the closing averages. But if you want to know why, watch Wall Street Week. If your why involves the Congress, watch the lawmakers. And what about the whys behind NOVA, the National Geographic specials, and the deliberations of this body, which are soon to be seen twice daily on KAKM at 6 and 11 p.m. Monday through Friday on that station. If the former FCC Commissioner Newton Minow said, television is a vast wasteland, then the only oasis in sight is public broadcasting. Public broadcasting, in my opinion, is the only glimmer of hope left for Philo P. Farnsworth's dream. Mr. Rogers teaches our children the difference between the real world and fantasy. He lets them know that they're special, just the way they are. Sesame Street teaches the numbers, the alphabet, and an understanding of people who may be different from them. 321 Contact lets youngsters explore the world of science while the electric company surrounds the silent eve. The greatest players of our age are brought into virtually every home in South Central Alaska via Channel 7. Leontine Price, Luciano Pavarotti, Isaac Stern, Itzhak Perlman, Beverly Sills are household names because of public television. More people have seen the Shakespeare plays performed on public TV than in all the combined performances throughout history. And Carl Sagan explored the cosmos and helped to clarify the mysteries of the universe and bring us all a little closer together. Locally, KAKM produces and broadcasts the only regularly scheduled program on the air that addresses the needs and the concerns of the ethnic minority cultures in South Central Alaska. We are also responsible for the statewide broadcast of Aviation Weather, the only half-hour daily program of its type in Alaska. If you don't think it's important, ask an aviator, or a mariner, or a trapper in rural Alaska. Public broadcasting is not only a national treasure, it's an Alaskan treasure, and is truly deserving of your support. I am here today representing your constituents and mine to ask for your commitment in support of the cooperative enterprise called public broadcasting. I ask you today to support the full request made by the APBC. 25,000 men, women, and children, as well as corporations, businesses, and retail merchants have and will continue to make their commitment to excellence in broadcasting. Now it's your turn to become a partner. Don't let them down. I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have about KAKM.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Sackett. Just briefly, I'll have to commend you on a very good brief speech there on what's going on. Basically, the corporations and the people who have donated to KAKM have taken an interest in it, and that's terrific, and I certainly commend you on that, and we'll appreciate you giving us that input. Representative Gohl?
Thank you. I'd like to concur with the chairman. I'm very impressed with the information you've given us. It's information that I'd heard before, but it's nice to hear it again. And I think we all, at least speaking for myself, certainly appreciate the work that's being done by public broadcasting in general. And I must personally agree with you that it does take some of the wasteland out of television. I was wondering, though, on the financial aspect, if you could give me two pieces of information.
Okay.
First of all, what is the breakdown between the programming, in terms of hours, the programming which you produce locally and the programming which you feed? And by that I don't mean in the same sense as the radio stations playing records, but in fact just simply feeding programs from other stations on a half-hour basis.
10% of our broadcast schedule is locally produced. That amounts to about, our total broadcast schedule is over 6,000 hours a year.
And so
we're on the air substantially more than most television stations. We go on at 6:30 in the morning, and we're on until after midnight every night.
I see. And on a daily basis, then, you produce how many hours of local programming?
Over an hour a day.
Is that your news shows? Or
We do not do a news show.
Could you be specific, then, what usually your hours?
We produce Aviation Weather. We produce a weekly series called Cross Culture that's a minority series. We produce a weekly public affairs series. We produce special event coverage. We produce lots of limited length series, for example, our running series, our By the People series. We're limited length series, a lot of hours, but nonetheless limited.
They're not ongoing.
We do an ongoing program like Something to Say. We invite people in,
mm-hmm.
Do programs like we cover the, go down and televise the Chamber of Commerce luncheons. We televise Commonwealth North breakfasts, especially when they have special speakers like the governor, senators.
Just out of curiosity, before I ask my next question, do you find that the response to your live programming is substantively different from the response you get to your recorded, programs?
It's difficult to tell what kind of response you're really getting from recorded programs, but let me give you an example. We did a program recently called Then One Night I Hit Her. It's a program about domestic violence. It was written, produced by our own staff, by one of our staff members, Eric Wallace, who's excellent. We used over 200 volunteers to produce that just that one program. It took about 400 and some hours to get it ready, to get the half-hour show ready. Then we put the half-hour show on, and we opened the phone line statewide for people to call in questions. We took over 200 telephone calls in less than an hour on that program on domestic violence.
How many communities?
Incredible.
How many communities did you cover with that?
Everything that the state satellite system reached.
I see.
And we got a Zenith phone line and people just called. And we have done that on a number of occasions for quite a few programs. We did it with our By the People series on the six major ballot issues that we had on last fall.
Thank you, Mr. Sackett. Just one more quick one. You made a reference to support for the requested budget. Is that what you meant?
That is what I meant.
And do you have any specific station-by-station or item-by-item recommendations where you feel underfunding is sufficient to warrant our attention?
My particular concern, of course, relates to KAKM. Our request of this year was substantially above the 907. The 907 number that you see there is an APBC-approved number. That was not the number that the station requested through its internal process and board review and so on. We requested $930,000, to be precise. That was cut down to 907 by the commission, and then it has since been subsequently reduced. At a minimum, we feel like we have to have the 907. If we come in at 823, I'm going to either have to start laying off some staff, or I suppose people could go without a raise for a year or so, but then I'm going to start losing staff if that happens.
Thank you very much, sir.
One other thing, if I might, I have a Representative Ewing has one of these, attended a session at our station before he came down here. I'd like to make some of these available to the committee. They're packets of information about our station, including a brochure that describes our Bright Ideas project, our monthly program guide, and a really neat brochure that we had done with the National Weather Service on aviation weather, what it is, how it works, and how to read the symbols, as well as more information than anyone would ever care to know about Channel 7, I'm sure, but it will be there for your reading pleasure.
Thank you, Mr. Sackett.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Sackett. And because of our time constraints here, we are going to try to scoot a couple more people in here. I think we've got 12 to 15 minutes to go. I'd like to switch over to Bethel then immediately, and if our engineer here in Juneau will switch us over.
Our witness there is Carol Schatz.
Carol Schatz, and I'm general manager of KYUK TV and radio here in Bethel. I'll be brief in the interest of time. And Mr. Sackett's presentation, I think the spirit of it certainly represented much of how KYUK TV feels about the job it's doing. For Bethel Broadcasting, I have been asked to say that we do support the Public Broadcasting Commission budget request and the process that it has gone through to develop its funding request from you. If anything, we feel that probably in the future the essential service level and the APBC request ought to grow, because there has not really been built into it a real cost of living differential other than what the stations themselves chose to apply. But we know, for instance, here in Bethel that the state salaries, state employees are paid 40% higher for the same job that's being held in Anchorage and what's held in Bethel. And in no way does KYUK TV or radio anywhere come anywhere close to that, and yet it makes it certainly very difficult for us in our hiring when you compare salaries of state employees to our own. I'd like to just say this, that the community support for KYUK has been overwhelming. Last year was in 81-82, the first year we held a membership drive, other than just a general fundraiser. We had 500 people pledge $28,000, which was an average of $56 per person. And that's what we collected, in fact. The pledges were a little higher than that. This year, because many of our TV translators were not working at the time, only 350 people pledged, we were reaching fewer than the 20,000 or so that are in the general service area. But again, we did quite well, and $34,000 was pledged, which in fact was an average of $97. So we feel that the community is probably as supportive as it really can be. And we also, of course, have volunteer support in our radio, our news reading, and just general surveys and other kinds of things. KYUK TV is 5 hours a week of local news. As English and UPIC, we must have two news departments for both the English and the UPIC effort, and we share that with radio. In a addition on TV, we do a weekly program with the Cooperative Extension Agent, which also airs now, I believe, on the Learn Alaska, the United States satellite. We also have a production that's about to hit the airwaves, been in production, a half-hour program with children in the community based on the alcohol curriculum here looking at you. We have another half-hour program each week, which is either a village profile or Eskimo dancing or something of that sort. For your information, KYUK has had a program which was distributed by the PBS system and aired in many cities throughout the United States. It was a program on about the Koryuk, and it has not only given us much, it's brought KYUK and I think the state of Alaska to the light. We are also airing instructional television presently 15 hours a week for the primary and elementary schools and 2 hours a week for the community college level. And this is not totally separate from the Learn Alaska system. This is something that our staff works out with the community college and the elementary schools here in town and coordinated this effort for several years.
Okay, thank you very much, Carol, if you can still read me. I think we had a fade out there for a few seconds. Let's switch over to Seward then immediately.
Our next witness in Seward is Jan Trettner.
My name is Jan Trettner. I'm a member of the Seward Community School Council, and I'm here to speak in support of Alaska Public Broadcasting Commission's FY84 budget. I support that budget because it includes public radio translator service for Seward. We on the council have been working hard in response to local demand to have that service here in Seward. Because it would involve no local programming and there would be no need for local advertising support, we would not be in competition with a local station. It is for these two reasons that Community Schools wholeheartedly supports the project. We've been working on the project for going on 3 years now. We have had many public meetings, including one at which Mr. Northrup was our guest speaker. We've been in contact with our engineer, and recently we were able to raise $744, which we plan to use to put a public radio program on our local station. We plan to do that until such a time as when we can have our own translator service here in Seward. The reason we have chosen translator service is because it would require minimal investment to install receiving and transmitting equipment. There would also be a small amount that would be put towards maintenance. In other words, it is the easiest and cheapest way to have public radio in Seward. Community schools' support for public radio is in no way a reflection on our local station, our local commercial station. We have received their support for public radio, and we appreciate that very much. We are talking about a different style of radio that would speak to a different audience. Therefore, we feel that there is room for and a need for both stations. I understand it would be very easy to cut a new project such as Seward's from the budget. However, because of local interest, we hope that you support the establishment of translator service for Seward in APBC's FY84 budget. Thank you very much for your time and support.
Okay, thank you very much. And let's go on now, since we have just a few more minutes, to try to get in... Do we have to go back to Barrow? Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, back to the North Country again. Barrow, are you there?
Our next witness there is David Baumgartner.
Yeah, this is David Baumgartner, chairman of ABRW in Barrow. I've been on the board for many, many years. Not quite since it began, but for quite a while. And personally, I've been real pleased with APBC's assistance to our station and the way they've handled our budget requests each year. Recently, they gave us considerable help in terms of our station, and I just have been very pleased with the way they have helped us. I think it's been fair. Our station has been growing. We're in a period of transition now to a new building, and we're going to need their help even more. And I just want to support the request that they've given you. And I hope you give it a fair hearing.
Okay, thank you very much. And I guess we have just a few more minutes, and we will go to Anchorage for further comment. About 2.5 minutes, please.
Our last witness then will be Bruce Smith in Anchorage.
Anchorage. Just very briefly, I wanted to note I've only been in Alaska for a year, and based on my 13 years of experience in radio outside, I think that KSKA's budget is extraordinarily lean and well-focused. KSKA had, in fact, at points it was so lean that we didn't necessarily know where the next payroll was coming from. But that is a problem that happily we've since addressed. KSKA has received the lowest state grant for full-service stations since it went on the air, and the station is seeking an additional ESL adjustment to help bring our level of stable funding up to what we feel is necessary. Like Alma Wasaket and KAKM, our local support is extraordinary. About 50% of our budget comes from individual contributions from businesses, special events, and so on. Also, we are very soon going to boost power, and a project which is costing us about $130,000, not one cent of which has come from state government. We went out and raised the money entirely from corporations such as Ohio, hundreds of individual contributions, and also a federal grant. KSK's membership now is up to over 3,000. And our listenership has increased by 54% in 1 year. But the final point I wanted to make was I think that the APBC budget, although we have been underfunded for some time, has, now that we've gone back to APBC and begun to address the problem, their response to us was a very positive and a very supportive one, and I think we're pleased with the process and hope that we can get our level of funding up to what we feel is necessary. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Bruce, and we just have a minute or two more, and I'd just like to comment briefly here that I appreciate all the comments that's coming in from around the state, and certainly want to commend your efforts for being able to raise all that money in the private sector. I know what that's like, and trying to run a campaign and all the other things that I have to do from the private sector, and certainly the committee, me, Representative Ewling, being the chairman, we're certainly not going to take a hasty view of the of your request at this time. However, we are going to hold things over until tomorrow and look at it a little bit more in depth, if that's in concordance with Mr. Northrup's wishes in being here. Representative Gold, would you like to add anything?
No, just to thank the participants very much for participating in this teleconference, Mr. Northrup, Mr. Sackett, and the others. Thank you very much.
Okay, and thank you, and we'll sign off then. And is there anybody else? I guess that's it, correct? Thank you.
That concludes today's House Finance Subcommittee meeting on the last public broadcast.